A Contra Podcast Conversations for the Curious Essential Knowledge, Simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome. Today we are diving deep into, well, postmodernism. It's arguably one of the most pervasive intellectual movements, but also maybe the slipperiest.
Oh, absolutely. It feels like this huge, sprawling thing sometimes, doesn't it? Ideas, art, culture, it's everywhere.
Right. So our mission today is to try and, you know, bring it down to earth a bit, give you, the listener, a kind of map using Christopher Butler's really clear analysis as our guide.
And it's so relevant, isn't it? Understanding postmodernism is almost essential now for navigating, well, everything.
Totally. Think about debates over truth or irony in art or even how we talk about identity online. Postmodernism gives you the tools to sort of look under the hood.
Exactly. And Christopher Butler, he's really the ideal guide for this.
Yeah, tell us a bit about him.
Well, he was a distinguished British literary critic, professor of English literature at Oxford, really steeped in the tradition.
Which is key, right? Because he knew modernism inside out. That lets him connect dots across philosophy, art, architecture. He sees the bigger picture.
Precisely. He doesn't just see postmodernism popping up out of nowhere. He frames it as a critical reaction to modernism.
And he's objective about it, which I appreciate. He's not just cheerleading or tearing it down.
No, exactly. Butler aims for scholarly clarity. He wants to explain the movement, its roots, what it actually contributed, and yeah, its limitations too. He makes some pretty dense theory feel, well, accessible.
Okay, so let's get into the core idea. Butler makes it clear. Postmodernism isn't like one single theory.
Right. It's more like a cluster of related ideas, maybe shared attitudes, things that really challenge traditional Western thinking.
And the key phrase, the one Butler highlights from Lyotard, is
incredulity toward meta-narratives. That's the bedrock. Postmodernism starts with doubting those big overarching stories.
We should probably unpack that term meta-narrative. What does that actually mean in this context?
Good question. So meta-narratives are those grand, sweeping explanations that societies, especially in the West since the Enlightenment, used to make sense of everything.
Like?
Well, think of the big ones. The idea that science leads inevitably to progress and utopia, or the Christian story of salvation, or the Marxist narrative of revolution and liberation. These huge, all-encompassing frameworks.
Got it. So after the catastrophes of the 20th century, the wars, totalitarianism, you name it, those grand stories started to feel, well, unconvincing, maybe even dangerous.
Exactly that. Faith in those universal claims just crumbled for many thinkers. Postmodernism is that cultural moment of skepticism.
So its value isn't in finding a new big story.
No, quite the opposite. It's about encouraging critical doubt toward all big stories. It pushes us to see how knowledge is often constructed, you know, shaped by context and power, not just discovered.
Okay, so that deep skepticism about universal truth, about stable meaning, that leads us to the big three philosophers Butler focuses on. Lyotard, Derrida, and Foucault.
Yes, the philosophical core. Lyotard, having dismissed metanarratives, critiques foundationalism, the whole idea of finding one solid base for all knowledge.
Since that's gone, what does he see instead?
He talks about a shift towards micronarratives, smaller, local, context-specific stories that don't pretend to have all the answers for everyone, everywhere.
And Derrida.
Yeah.
It takes this skepticism into language itself.
Right.
With deconstruction.
Precisely. Derrida argues language isn't a clear window onto reality. Meaning is unstable. It relies on differences within language, and it's always kind of deferred, never fully present.
That's where his famous, often misunderstood line comes in. There's nothing outside the text.
Exactly. It doesn't mean reality doesn't exist. It means our understanding of reality is always filtered through language, through cultural frameworks, the text.
You can give an example.
Sure. Think about a legal case. What constitutes guilt or justice only makes sense within the specific language and rules of the legal system, the legal text. Change the laws, change the cultural context, and the truth of the situation can shift.
Right, okay. And then Foucault adds another layer. He connects this unstable knowledge directly to power.
Yes, Foucault's crucial insight is about power knowledge. He argued they're inseparable. Knowledge isn't neutral. It's produced by powerful institutions, medicine, law, education, often to regulate people.
So truth, for Foucault, isn't just objective fact. It's often a tool used by those in power.
Which naturally fuels that postmodern skepticism towards experts and authority figures. You start asking, who's truth and who benefits?
Okay, so if the philosophers are doubting universal truth, language, and neutral experts,
yeah.
How does this actually show up in culture? How does it look and feel? You mentioned it's a reaction against modernism.
Yeah, the contrast is really stark, especially in architecture. Modernism was all about purity, function, less is more, think Bauhaus. Very serious, very utopian in its own way.
And postmodernism just blows that up.
Pretty much. Butler points to architect Robert Venturi's fantastic counter motto, less is a bore.
Ah, I love that.
It captures the shift perfectly, doesn't it? Postmodern buildings embrace complexity, contradiction, humor. They'll quote historical styles, use decoration just for fun, mix things up. It's playful, often ironic.
You can really see that. And in visual art.
Think pop art. Andy Warhol. Those Campbell soup cans, the Marilyn Monroe prints.
Right, taking everyday commercial stuff and calling it high art.
Exactly. Blurring that line between high culture and low commercial culture. Using mass production deliberately challenges the modernist obsession with a unique, original genius.
What about literature? How does this skepticism play out in writing?
Well, you get things like metafiction. That's fiction that's sort of aware it's fiction. It draws attention to its own construction.
Like Calvino's fiction. If on a winter's night, a traveler. The book mentions that one.
Perfect example. A novel about trying and failing to read a novel. The author is openly playing with the conventions of storytelling, questioning their own authority.
And you also see lots of borrowing.
Right.
Pastiche.
Yeah, mixing styles, quoting other texts. Like in Umberto Eco's The Name of the Rose, it assumes the reader is in on the game, actively piecing things together, because there's no single authoritative meaning being handed down.
It feels like this challenges the very idea of a stable self, too.
It absolutely does. Postmodern thought tends to see the self not as some fixed, authentic core, but as something constructed, fluid, yeah. Shaped by the language we use, the stories we tell ourselves, the social roles we play.
And that connects to Judith Butler's work on gender.
Yes. Her concept of gender as performance is a key development here. The idea that gender isn't just biological destiny, but something we actively do, perform. Based on social norms. It highlights how deeply culture shapes even what feels most natural.
So what about politics? If you're skeptical of grand narratives, what does that mean for political action?
Well, it often leads away from those big utopian projects like worldwide revolution or a single perfect system. The focus shifts to micropolitics, specific local struggles. Fighting for the rights of particular marginalized groups, you see this in identity politics, feminism, multiculturalism. It's about addressing concrete injustices rather than aiming for one single universal liberation.
But that raises a tricky question, doesn't it? If postmodernism is skeptical of all universal truths, how does it argue that, say, oppression is objectively wrong? Doesn't it risk collapsing into relativism where anything goes?
That's the major critique, and it's a valid concern. Butler acknowledges this tension. Postmodernism gives powerful tools to critique power and expose hidden assumptions.
But it struggles to offer its own positive, universal foundation for values.
Exactly. It doesn't provide a simple moral compass. Its strength, Butler suggests, is more enforcing intellectual humility. It makes us constantly question why we believe what we believe, even when fighting for justice. It's more a method of analysis than a complete ethical system.
Okay, that makes sense. So let's try to boil this down. What are the main takeaways for someone trying to grasp this based on Butler's analysis?
I think there are three big ones. First, the social construction of knowledge. The idea that what we know isn't just objective facts sitting out there. It's shaped by our culture, our language, by power dynamics.
Which means we should always ask, where is this fact coming from? Whose common sense is it?
Right. Second, the blurring of traditional boundaries. Postmodernism loves to mix things up, high art and pop culture, reality and simulation, the original and the copy.
Which kind of explains our modern remix culture, right? Where everything feels like content to be sampled and repurposed.
Definitely. And third, the instability of meaning. Thanks largely to thinkers like Derrida, there's this understanding the meaning isn't fixed. It shifts depending on who's reading, when, and within what cultural framework.
So the takeaway there is that we need to be active interpreters. We can't just passively receive information expecting one clear message.
Exactly. It puts more responsibility on us, the audience, to engage critically.
To really hammer these points home, Butler uses some great concise quotes from the key thinkers.
Yeah, they really stick with you. First, back to Lyotard. Simplifying to the extreme, I define postmodern as incredulity toward meta-narratives. That's the starting pistol, really. Question the big stories.
Then for the cultural vibe, Venturi's Less is a Bore.
Love that one. It just perfectly captures that playful, complex, aesthetic reaction against modernist seriousness.
And finally, from Foucault, the connection between knowledge and power.
Knowledge and power are integrated with one another, a really crucial, maybe slightly uncomfortable insight. It forces you to see claims to expertise in a different light, to ask about the interests they might serve.
Okay, so how can listeners actually use these ideas? Let's make it practical.
Well, application one, media literacy in our digital age, essential. Postmodern ideas help you see how images, news stories, social media posts are all constructions. They're built to look a certain way, often to get a certain reaction. It breeds healthy skepticism.
So not taking every headline or viral video at face value.
Exactly. Application two, navigating identity debates. Understanding identity as constructed, fluid, influenced by culture. It fosters empathy.
Yeah, it helps make sense of why discussions around gender or race can be so complex. People have different lived experiences shaped by these constructs. It encourages listening.
For sure. And application three, critical consumption of culture. You go to a gallery, watch a movie, listen to music. Now you have the vocabulary. You can spot the irony, the pastiche, the blurring of high and low. You can understand why it feels the way it does, beyond just liking it or not.
It helps decode the world around us. For me, what really clicked was seeing how abstract philosophy like incredulity toward meta-narratives actually turned into something as concrete as Venturi saying less is a bore. That connection between theory and, well, stuff you can see and touch.
Yeah, it shows how these ideas really did permeate the culture.
And understanding this helps explain why we instinctively question things now, why a single authoritative truth feels unlikely. It's become a practical tool for living in this complex world.
I think that's the lasting value Butler points to. Postmodernism demands critical thinking, intellectual humility. It doesn't give easy answers, but it equips you to ask better questions about power, perspective, and how meaning gets made. It helps you navigate the fragmented reality we actually live in.
It's about developing that critical sophistication, maybe, without falling into despair.
Well put. It's a toolkit for a complicated age.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.